The media has been calling us repo men. I guess that's accurate this week anyway, but what we really are is just another cog in the machine that makes the airline industry run. And this time, our mission was to move a bunch of yellow airplanes into storage. Over the course of the first week of May 2026, my company, Nomadic, moved 23 of these here to the Sonoran Desert. We were working for the banks and leasing companies that owned them, and leased them to Spirit Airlines, which ceased operations at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, May 2nd. Most of these airplanes will fly again someday for some other airline with a different paint job somewhere else on the planet. But they'll never fly again for Spirit. Nobody will. Spirit Airlines was a phenomenon. Love it or hate it, and plenty of people did both, it democratized air travel for millions of Americans who couldn't otherwise afford to fly. $6 fares, bag fees that drove people crazy, and a workforce of pilots, flight attendants, and ground crews who showed up every single day and made it work. For a while, it really worked. We got the first call back in January. One of the largest aircraft leasing companies in the world, they own hundreds of jets, reached out quietly.
We got a call from one of our very large lessor clients, one of the largest lessors in the world, saying, hey, the writing's on the wall at Spirit. We have 10 jets there, 321 Neos. Can you quote getting them back? But kind of quote it very basically because we don't know where these airplanes are going to be. And we said, okay, you know, sounds good. Put them all in, MSNs, tail numbers, put them into our system. Put together a couple quotes, like an East Coast quote, a West Coast quote, a South America quote. Just, you know, just getting our ducks in a line so they aren't surprised when the time comes.
We actually received the get ready call twice earlier in the year. Both times, the night before, we got the call to stand down as the can got kicked. Spirit was able to buy more time, so we left the aircraft in our trip management system and relegated them to the back burner. But this time, Friday, May 1st, things were different. You could almost sense it.
So it was Friday before the Kentucky Derby, which is the first Saturday of every May.
Right, May 1st. It was May 1st. We got a call about 10 a.m. I was in the car on my way to Pittsburgh because my son graduated from the University of Pittsburgh last weekend. We did what we expected we were going to do, and that was kind of go out to our Spirit pilot group contacts. Bob knows some guys. We all know a couple of Spirit guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know people from every airline.
Yeah, this is a great network that we have, and it's developed, you know, we've had this network going for multiple decades.
It's a win-win situation for everybody. These pilots are out of work. They're going to need money. And rather than just run a couple people ragged, you know, we wanted to get enough pilots that we could just get as many in the mix as we could.
I think we have unlimited scalability with all these Spirit pilots. I mean, the numbers are growing in the group chat right now. So as long as they're all vetted and all good, I don't mind starting to launch guys pretty much right away.
The lessor said, we want crews at each one of these airports of where we think our airplanes are going to end up tonight. So those airplanes hadn't even landed yet. Spirit had not officially closed, but they wanted to be proactive and spend the money to make sure that there was crews like ready to go Friday night, and we had to do that.
Yeah, the first batch is Fort Lauderdale. I think there's three in Fort Lauderdale, one in Miami, one in Charlotte, one in Columbus, two in Houston, three in Houston is the last I saw.
Right around the time we thought we finally got a handle on the first 10, another 14 from three other lessors entered the chat.
Yeah, and then if those get added in, then we have two in Atlantic City, one in Detroit, one in Philly, two more in Orlando, two in Dallas, one in Chicago, one in L.A. Yeah, we get a lot.
The leasing companies that are always like, you know, first on site to get their airplanes or to do anything, you know, they're our clients. And, you know, I mean, that's what we have the reputation of doing also, of making things happen in a very short amount of time. and taking very complicated flight operations and getting them organized and completed.
I mean, we got our work cut out with these. I think we'll be able to bang them all out in the first week. But you know what we can account for is if other lessors call and need the same. It's fine. I mean, ops is going to be spread super thin. I don't have my laptop with me. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to get it all done, but it's going to be an all hands on deck effort for sure.
As surreal and confusing as the sudden exponential chaos was to us, imagine being one of these Spirit pilots at their crew hotel in some outstation, Newark or Nashville, in rest before flying passengers out in the morning. Now suddenly on some WhatsApp group with a couple of guys they've never heard of, running some crazy repo operation and just starting to process the fact that their life was about to suddenly change.
So on top of talking to Spirit pilots who are like some in the middle of trips with passengers that have not been told that their airline is closing, a call from some guy like me, I mean, that they don't know, is telling them that, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be out of work tomorrow, but I'm ready to put you to work. I mean, that call, if I was on the other side of it, I would be thinking, this guy is some whack job. I mean, what? And I had guys that were going, I'm flying people in right now. And I'm supposed to fly tomorrow. I guess if that doesn't happen, can I call you back? I'm like, let me put it this way. You're on the payroll right now. So <Yeah. laughs> definitely call me back when you get the news. And then sure enough.
I was flying the day of the shutdown. I worked one of the last 25 flights that were in the air for Spirit. It was a shock. I didn't believe it for sure that day. But once I landed in Orlando and I was able to get a delayed flight back home to Chicago, it was, 11 o'clock at night, text out of Orlando, feelings kind of started to get a little bit, got a little emotional.
Bob and I have done this before. Not long ago, we managed the Go First liquidation in India, a surprisingly similar story to Spirit, as they too were heavily affected by the Pratt & Whitney GTF engine issues, taking virtually new aircraft offline while they awaited engine inspections and work packages. We've mobilized to move aircraft out of service and into storage en masse during COVID, and we've participated in other large-scale repossessions, including Mexicana a number of years back. We also operate maintenance ferry flights regularly for LATAM Airlines, aircraft that are in service and on their AOC. So our initial plan to quickly ferry as many as possible under Spirit's continuing airworthiness program was grounded in precedent, and it was extremely sound. But that didn't matter.
The idea was that we move the airplanes as quickly as we can before the inspections are due while they're still on the inspection program, even though the aircraft were no longer in the custody of Spirit. They were court-ordered from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court, leases terminated, back into possession of the lessors, but they were still being maintained as airworthy. I mean, they were flying passengers 12 hours prior.
Right.
We still were counting on Spirit to allow us to operate the aircraft with it on their maintenance program. And ultimately, their management pilot team decided, someone in that group decided that they did not want that liability. The Spirit 119 team said that they won't accept that risk. They won't allow us to operate.
Not only us with third-party pilots, but not even their own. I offered, I'm like, yeah, how about if we use all Spirit pilots? Nobody else outside of Spirit flies the airplanes, just like they were doing less than 12 hours ago.
I think nobody wanted to put themselves out.
Yeah.
And
like, why would they? Honestly, I mean, from their point of view, from the FAA or the 119's point of view, I mean, what was the benefit to them to go, yeah, we'll go along with this?
Right.
I mean, it really wasn't. It was, it was literally to help the lessor out.
So we pivoted. There was a fail-safe way to make it happen, but it required bringing in a third-party official called a Designated Airworthiness Representative, or simply a DAR.
Nice to meet you, Bob.
We're Bill, just, Bob Allen. How you doing? Good.
Well, that was the most direct flight you'll ever get from Atlantic City to back home.
Phil Beck is one of three DARs that our clients hired to sign off that the aircraft was airworthy and issue a special flight permit valid for a one-time ferry flight into storage. Phil, Laz, and our good friend Ryan Bivens are three experienced domestic U.S.-based DARs that we have the pleasure of working with on the regular. They know us, we know them, and every time these guys are involved, we just know that the plane is going to be safe and move on schedule.
We've moved 26 in 7 days.
26, huh? Wow.
This is the last one. For us, I mean, there may be some more, but last one we have on the schedule.
Bringing in DARs took all responsibility away from the Spirit 119 team, which drastically simplified things in many ways. But the downside was that we had to wait until they moved through the various cities to physically inspect each airplane. That means Sunday, May 3rd, became a rest day for our pilots, who spent pretty much all of Friday night and Saturday sitting around airports, even sitting on airplanes waiting for a resolution. Our travel team quickly worked to send each crew to the hotels, and our ops and planning team jumped into high gear to prepare for the first set of departures on Monday. The plan was to get all Florida airplanes out first, which were in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Orlando.
They're all standing by, literally, at the airport, like ready to get on airplanes. And they hadn't, you know, they haven't been to a hotel, they haven't slept in, you know, quite a while by then. You know, so we start assessing all of these things internally. We start trying to determine how we're gonna talk to the leasing company, who is under tremendous amount of pressure to move these airplanes immediately. It's this like fine line, you know, how we want to make things work, but at the same time, you know, we've got to look out for the crews. We've got to keep the operation safe. And luckily, it turned out to where we were able to just tell them to go to the hotel, crash out for Sunday, be prepared to go Monday. And, you know, not only the just physical being tired, but the emotional part of dealing with the loss of your airline, the job. I mean,
by the end of the first weekend, and as the aircraft started finally moving on Monday and Tuesday, both Bob and I really started getting to know these pilots from our constant phone calls, group chats, and other various mediums that we had in place to communicate with between 20 and 30 complete strangers that we met virtually just days before. While the project was highly technical and in many ways similar to the stuff we do every day, the human element of it all really hit us both, and we both immediately knew that we made the right decision to bring in this team of Spirit pilots to get the job done. We kept hearing the same thing over and over again. Not complaints, not whining, but nostalgia. A genuine sense that these people, this company, was more than just a discount brand. It was a family, and they were all dealing with this overwhelming grief, but putting on their game face and sticking with the task to execute for their beloved airline one last time.
Just documenting this stuff a bit, you know?
Yeah, sad day. Hey, I'm Colton Havy. I've been a pilot here for almost 5 years. I started here actually at 18 years old as a flight attendant back in 2014, right out of high school. So it's been an amazing airline, amazing company, but a lot of really good people.
Well, how'd she fly?
Very nice.
Good deal.
Worked this airplane second week of revenue service when I was a flight attendant.
Oh, really?
15.
So. Oh, no kidding. Wow. How's it feel to fly its last flight? As a Spirit airplane, anyway. Who knows where it goes next?
Yeah. So I'm glad I got the opportunity to do one of these.
Yeah.
So, I'm really glad.
Well, it was great. Our quality of life was unparalleled. I mean, we had the best group of people working here. We were such a family. Everybody was so close-knit, and the contract was great. We had our ups and downs with the union and the company, but for the most part, everybody took care of everybody, from management to the union. I mean, we were all on the same mission, and that was to make Spirit great and to make something out of this little tiny airline and take on the big dogs.
Our family. We will always be here.
So this is getting left behind on the airplane. What's your son's name?
Victor.
Victor.
He
just turned 9 on Friday.
Oh, man. Very sweet.
I think most people think of Bob and I as the guys who are out flying every airplane. I mean, why wouldn't they? Whenever we're posting on socials or filming a cockpit casual video, we are. But the truth is, more often than not, our role in the company is keeping the projects on task from our home offices. Not nearly as exciting or fun, but critical. And on a project of this scale, we're better suited alongside Mark and Emily and Chris and MJ back in ops.
Bob and I are way better off as quarterbacks, like making decisions, kind of assigning tasks.
We're way better doing that than flying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Got to have us having that high level view of the entire playing field. You know,
But you were also an Uber driver. So,
yeah.
We had two airports. All but one aircraft went to either Goodyear or Marana.
Yeah. I mean, so as soon as these things started stacking up, I saw the, you know, logistics problem of getting crews from these airports to Phoenix or Tucson or wherever. How do we get them, you know, to a hotel? But I was like, okay, there's going to be potentially 6 to 8 crews landing within like an hour of each other in some of these cases. So initially, like the first day, I think Monday, I was going to end up with 4 people at a time. So had my son run out to Enterprise, and I just said, just rent the biggest SUV that you can. They didn't have any buses at the time, like, or big vans. And I was like, get the biggest thing that they, you know, rent. I started going out there initially picking the crews up because I like to meet, you know, who's flying our airplanes. I want to introduce ourselves as like real people. This is a real company, and, you know, we're pilots too.
Not everybody listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Bob lives in Arizona, so naturally he was best suited to pick up all the crews as they arrived, which got him out of the office quite a bit over the course of the week. But make no mistake, he was still on the phone with me every 15 minutes, as well as the clients, the crews, and hell, everyone putting out his own share of helmet fires as they came up, but without the benefit of a desktop and a stable internet connection. I, on the other hand, was pretty much camped out in my office behind the desk for several days from 6 a.m. till about 1 in the morning, always operating with a backlog of tasks. So when the day finally came to move one to Arizona out of my home city of Philadelphia, I was definitely ready to do something different, and the cockpit was calling.
All right, this has been the most chaotic and insane morning. I'm going out to move an airplane, a Spirit plane out of Philly, and picking up Pat Lewis in a minute. Everything was supposedly coordinated last night. Oh, I forgot the flight plans. Everything was supposedly coordinated last night, but then everything kind of fell apart with the handler, and now we're on the move once again. And I'm not exactly sure where the breakdown occurred, but that's just been par for the course with this project because there's so many different parties involved and a lot of uncertainty. So anyway, printed out our flight plan, so we got that at least. I throw that into a folder here, and I'm trying to document this thing. I know I have not documented much because I've been sitting in front of my computer here for the last few days, 4 days. I don't know. I've lost track of time. You know, the hard part is that we get these. We don't operate. You know, Nomadic doesn't operate out of like major international airports, and major international airports don't understand the kind of work that we do. So there's always a huge learning curve with dealing with all that, and getting handlers arranged. Like, I mean, just every little element is like you have to provide education as to what we're doing before we can even get put in touch with the right people to make the things happen. So anyway, long story short, it took us, I mean, probably 24 hours now to even work out handlers. Some of the handlers don't have stairs. Some of the handlers don't have the right tow bar. Some of the handlers can fuel. Some of the handlers can't fuel. Some of the handlers have you know, fuel contracts with other people that we don't have contracts with. So it's just a dance. We just have to coordinate. With normal ferry flights, we typically have days, weeks to get all the vendors lined up, all that. And on this project, it's like we have like 12 hours notice max on each deal to start from scratch, figure out where the airplane is, how to extract it, assign a crew, get things moving, arrange the handling, arrange the fuel, get the flight plans out, coordinate with the DAR. There are so many elements to each one of these deals that are coming together quick. So, and then multiply that by 21 and a team of like me and Bob, Chris and Mark, MJ, Pat and Emily working essentially around the clock, handing off over the night to get a couple hours of sleep. It's been like this day in and day out. So this is actually the first time I'm getting in an airplane to fly as part of this project. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to it because it's a lot easier than this stuff that I've been doing.
Pat Lewis lives 10 minutes away, so I picked him up on the way to the airport. We weren't sure yet if we'd have a pushback arranged or even have an escort to get us to the plane, but some things are just easier to deal with in person.
Here he is.
The star of the show.
Trunk's open.
Sweet.
If you want to go down the ground, I'm not sure if you want to make it back more. I mean, we have access to the ground.
Yeah, I just don't want to get us in trouble or arrested or something, you know?
With T-minus 15 minutes until we arrived at the airport, the client called me and said that he had a contact at the airport who could at least likely solve the access issue. So I connected the wires between her and Mark and dispatch, and then by the time I parked, all I had to do was make a quick call to get the location of the meeting point.
Text me Renee's number so that I can have Mark call her. I think that's going to be the best bet. That'll get one single point of contact working that... You know what I mean? That takes me out of the loop and allows me to focus on getting places.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, man. All right, we're all set. Let's go.
We're good where we are here?
Yeah, we're going to get picked up by... We're going to go to AE's ticketing.
Getting to the plane out on the cargo ramp was easier than expected. The airport manager personally picked us up and got us delivered, and once on the ramp, I was pleasantly surprised by how many mechanics and ramp operations agents were surrounding the airplane. Pat started to ready the plane while I focused on getting fuel ordered and trying to solve the last piece, a pushback tug, driver, and tow bar.
Here's all about.
See, wherever we go, man.
The fuel truck showed up within minutes. There wasn't much fuel remaining on the plane, so we'd likely need about 3,500 gallons of Jet A to bring us up to the required load of 31,000 pounds for the 5-hour and 15-minute flight into a 100-knot headwind out to Arizona.
How's it going, man?
Good. Yeah, I'm sure. It's great.
Fortunately, we got a full load of stuff left on the airplane from previously.
I was in such a mad rush to get out to the airplane this morning that I hadn't even thought about eating anything or even water. I came to that realization after a few minutes on the airplane and was pleasantly surprised to find galley carts fully stocked with Spirit Airlines snacks and drinks, ready to serve to passengers that would never board. At this point, I was starving and so relieved that I wouldn't have to wait 6 hours before getting some calories into my body.
No one, all right, I'm here. Are you in the back?
Yeah.
I just not that bad, and blueberries and cheese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me bring it.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome. He's got like cheese plates and stuff in the back.
Yeah, the other one had it. Oh, it's in the back.
Yeah.
I forgot to eat this morning. We're going to have to bring any and all food, so.
Well, we went from thinking we were standing by for fucking hours to having to be at the door in 20 minutes.
I know. So we're eating Spirit snacks.
We're good.
Yeah, I lived off them on Tuesday. It's pleasantly surprised for what it was.
Yeah. All the usual. I guess it's the usual. I don't know. Never flown Spirit. Oh, these look good.
Good for you.
Oatmeal flour. I better tell my wife that I'm leaving.
Awesome. Yeah, I completely forgot to tell mine as well.
During fueling, I decided to take a chance. We weren't having any luck with getting a push crew, and until that moment, I only had a firm commitment for 2 p.m. It was only 11, and I really didn't want to rot in the cockpit all day. I saw a friendly-looking airport employee overseeing the operation from his yellow ops truck. I figured, this guy has to have some contacts in his phone that might be willing to help. I approached. The guy said, "Let me make some calls." Not 15 minutes later, a tug, a tow bar, and a driver showed up, and we scrambled to get the door closed and stairs pulled so we can get on our way.
Nomadic 211, Philly Ground, are you at the car grave or are you at
Atlantic? We're at the car grave right now, Romeo 2.
Nomadic 211, so I missed you. Calling for push, you're in the back.
Calling for push.
Tonight, come on, push for the 27 left, about right there.
Let us push crew 27 left, and then we'll call
for push. We'll be going to 27 left.
Brake gets released. For 511 ready, show it, back.
Okay, go ahead and start one.
Starting one.
American 1189, push the 511 taxi with Papa. Cross 27 right at Sierra. And Pasha, and off the Sierra of the ground.
We're in my home airport. I've been flying for 28 years. And this is my first time ever flying out of Philly.
It's whatever the opposite of home coming is for both of us.
Yeah, I'm leaving. It's
our outgoing.
Runway 26 will serve runway 27.
Just like that, the last Spirit airplane departed the city of brotherly love, my home city, Philadelphia. I don't know if it's fitting or even appropriate for it to have been me in the seat for something like this, but for me, it felt special. It was memorable, an experience that I'll never forget.
New York Center, Nomadic 211, level 100.
Nomadic 211, 85 to highest building.
We'll be right back.
Southwest 4628,
Cleveland.
Well, it's not as good as
Southwest 4628, Cleveland.
Top Linda Catering.
That's a sight no one's gonna see anymore. Kind of sad. End of an era. End of an era.
Matter 211, level 380. Another one's about to land
I have to imagine Bob's picking us up.
I think so.
And then we're getting in around the same time as Dallas number 2.
Yeah.
And probably LA at this point. Maybe
yeah, LA's about to go. I'm not sure what their flight time is, but it shouldn't be that long.
Yeah, so we'll see Lewis.
Probably wait for them. Lewis and Nick.
My buddy Chris just landed, so he's on his way back to Phoenix now. Spirit guy.
Good.
So it's been an interesting one. You know, lessons learned. I'm proud of our team. I think you know we've done great. And there's a lot more to come.
It was an absolute fire hose at first. We're coming up on 15 miles out.
Yeah, I'm trying to slower. We're just going to have to kind of dip around a little bit. Let's go full on speed laps one, get another knot or two to lose. Yep.
The weather, or lack thereof, specifically the arid desert air, a lack of precipitation, and massive amounts of open space are the reason airplanes are stored in the desert. And out here in Arizona, New Mexico, and Southern California, the boneyards of the West are our stomping grounds. Most of the time, it's pulling planes out and taking them to a new airline somewhere in the world.
It's really, we're like 7,000 ATO right now.
Yeah, we're good, man. I'm just cutting it wide and in.
Yeah.
Let's go here now. Get some of that. Let's go on a break slow.
Sure, some of the older planes will probably be making their last landing here in Marana this week, but they're the minority. Most of these yellow birds are young and full of life, and it won't be long before they're back gracing the skies wearing a different set of colors. And personally, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to bring them out of here. Pat and I arrived to find the Nomadic operation in Marana running like a well-oiled machine. The first of two Dallas airplanes beat us in by about an hour, and that crew was already heading for the hotel in Phoenix along with the Detroit and Houston crews that preceded them. Within 20 minutes of our arrival, two more Nomadic flights, the second Dallas and LAX, touched down, completing another six-ship day for us to tie our record. Bob was there waiting for us, looking pretty good for a guy who hadn't really slept in a week.
Thank you.
last time I was in Marana, about 2 months ago, pulling an A330 out to go into conversion in China, I noticed the place was looking pretty empty. It's definitely filled up a bit since then, and I think with oil over $100 a barrel, it's likely to gain some more tenants, and more than just the bright yellows. Storage is also a solution for functioning airlines to cut capacity on a temporary basis, and I'm guessing that this may be the case for the next few months at least. Monday, May 11th was a rainy, overcast day in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and it felt symbolic as the last Spirit airplane out for the Nomadic team. It also felt particularly special because Atlantic City was one of the first and main gateway cities and crew bases for Spirit Airlines. The first scheduled flight out of Atlantic City took place on June 1st, 1992, when I was finishing my freshman year of high school 40 miles west of here. I chose Captain Rebecca Badley, a 15-year veteran captain for Spirit who lives in Western PA. She'd fly with Pat on this one, and I headed over to drop them both off at the airplane and see them off.
I've said this over and over, that this is the best pilot group I've ever ran across in all of these years.
Because they work for a shitty airline, Bob.
Yeah.
That's why we're good. We work for shitty airlines.
It's so true. I mean, when you're kicked around and stuff, I mean, you end up just kind of scrappy and, you know, able to, you learn to hustle, man, and make things happen. And, I didn't run across one arrogant jerk at all. Mm-mm. Nobody complained. Not one, you know, jerk in the whole bit, man. I'm sure that they're out there, but yeah, not any that I ran across. I mean, if you're an employer out there, These are super great group of employees that, I mean, you can't go wrong by hiring them.
As I said before, every Spirit employee that I've spoken to has said the same thing. We were a family. And on Monday, I got to witness what that meant with my own eyes. Suzanne McKino, flight attendant number one, an Atlantic City native, was hired by Spirit Airlines before it was even Spirit Airlines. In 1990, she was hired by Charter One, Spirit's predecessor, an on-demand charter airline flying Convair 580s out of Detroit. When they scrapped the Convairs in favor of DC-9s, Suzanne officially became the first flight attendant with a new carrier and then spent the next 36 years as a faithful employee, until May 1st, 2026. Completely unbeknownst to me, Suzanne got word that the last Spirit airplane was flying out and came to the airport to see us off. Thanks to the kind operation team at the airport, she got the chance to really say goodbye, too. Out on the ramp with us, and then on the grass next to the runway. I'll admit it, none of us had a dry eye for that final takeoff, and Suzanne's presence out there was perfect. It was meant to be.
My name is Suzanne McKino. I got hired in 1990. Well, I flew on the Convairs, Convair 580s. The first two Convair 580s that Ned purchased. They were absolutely awesome.
And what were the first few destinations that you guys went to?
We did a lot of charters. We did Providence overnights. We did Boston overnights. They were our scheduled service. And then on the weekends, we did charters. Worcester, Richmond, Norfolk, you name it, we were there.
And then after the Convair came the DC-9?
The DC-9s came. The first four DC-9s, we were all like in awe. We could not believe that we were actually becoming something more than just a charter airline.
And then the
MD-80s
came after that.
Yeah, we saw them come, and every step of the way, we were all in it. I was based, started in Atlantic City, and I traveled around. Whether it was training, whether it was helping with scheduling, headquarters, I did it all, and I loved every minute of it.
What was the what's the last 6 months been like at Spirit?
Very uncertain. A lot of tears, a lot of hugs, a lot of family, and that's what we are. We're family. I was in shock. I was in tears, just like every one of us. You know, like I said, we reached out to each other. We couldn't talk on the phone because it was too hard, but we would text, we'd check in on each other. And yeah, we were family, and we still are, and we always will be.
That's awesome. What do you think is next? Just kind of regroup and see?
I don't know what's next. I've been here for so long, you know? I never thought that I'd be standing here right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, our condolences.
Thank
you. You know, we wish you all the best, and you know, hopefully we'll see you around. I'm a local, so I'll look for you.
Don't forget, Spirit family forever. I love my crew members. I love our family. It's been a big part of my life. Heads
down. Family. On a recent interview with the local news, Bob described the loss of one's job at an airline as a death in the family. And now I totally get it. But much like with death, the living will move on while keeping the memories alive. I didn't work for Spirit, but I did get to meet her best people, and I wish them all the best. Standing there on the side of the runway watching that last takeoff roll, I too had a lump in my throat, as I do right now reliving it. So I'll appropriately let Suzanne have the last word. No
words. Here we go. Just silence. And hearts trying not to break. Bye, Spirit. We love you. Oh my God. Uniform hanging by the door. Wings sitting on the dresser. Coffee growing cold. Eyes too full of rest. It's my honor. Crew room's quiet. Group chats blowing up. Somebody crying, somebody praying, somebody saying, how can this be? And somewhere in that silence, before the morning came, we learned our fate. 3 a.m. will never be the same. Because some families are not blood, some families are built in jump seats. Above land and birthdays miss, and holidays gone, and you good and stay strong. The yellow bird rests for now, for now, for now, for now. The yellow bird rests for now, for now. But a spirit never leaves home. No. Dark in the skies, but 34 years of heart does not say goodbye. Yeah, yeah. The yellow bird rests for now. Mm-hmm. Ramp lights in summer heat, rain falling down on tired feet. Off screens glowing through the night, trying to make one more wrong right. Mechanics with grease on both their hands, pilots carrying more than plans. Gate agents smiling through the fire, parts teams keeping our planes higher. Cabin crews looking picture fine, while deep inside, always on alert, training for the day. Nobody deserves it. Silver blue, howdy and hello, Detroit nights, daydreams.
toy drives, backpacks, coats. Late nights, big hearts showing up for hope. And if you ever wore these wings, then you already know. It would look like you. Red, silver, blue, black and gold too. And every Nets kid knows a spirit never dies.